Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever been up close to an elephant? When I was 15 years old, I spent the summer in the country of Thailand on a missions trip. And one day, we got to visit an elephant park and get right up close to elephants and even pet them. Elephants are fascinating creatures. Not only are they the largest land animal, but they have unique trunks, unbelievably large feet. They spend most of their day eating, and the females are pregnant for around 22 months. That's almost 2 years before giving birth to their young. Elephants truly are unique in God's creation, and today we are going to learn all about some special designs in elephants. Here's our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to discover, how is a baby elephant born? And why do elephants have trunks? Why do elephants squeak? And finally, how can we hear from God's Spirit? Before we hit the trail, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, CTC Math. CTC Math helps my kids and me better understand math and numbers in nature. We can stand in awe of God and appreciate all he has made as we better understand these incredible numbers in nature. And CTC Math helps us do just that. CTC Math's effective online program for grades K through 12 helps students catch up, keep up, and move ahead in their math journeys, all at their own pace. Just like nature study, math is something we shouldn't rush, and CTC Math helps my kids progress at a powerful pace, helping them master and move forward while truly understanding and applying all their learning. Try CTC Math for free and explore their effective math lessons at ctcmath.com. It's time for our trivia question. How many hours a day does an elephant spend eating? Remember that a full day is a 24-hour period. How many of those hours do you think an elephant spends eating? Humans normally spend around 1.5 hours a day eating, maybe more as you're a child needing lots of snacks throughout the day. But how many of the 24 hours in a day do you think an elephant spends eating? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over at the end of this episode to our bonus video. We will discover just how playful elephants are and 4 different games they enjoy playing. You can find that bonus video in the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. And listeners, if you would like access to our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and Bible and nature scavenger hunts, you can find all of that in the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes. The first stop on our trail map is inspired by a question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Nora, and I'm 7 years old, and I have a question for you. How are baby elephants born?
Thank you for this great question, Nora. How are baby elephants born? You know, something I find very interesting about baby elephants is actually the time before they are born, when they are still growing inside the mother elephant. Mother elephants stay pregnant for a very long time. Do you know how long a human mother is normally pregnant for? A human mother is normally pregnant for around 9 months, but an elephant mama is pregnant for around 22 months. This means that the baby elephant spends almost 2 years growing inside of its mama before being born. But what happens when the baby is finally ready to be born? When a mama elephant is ready to give birth, she will often move into a secluded area, but she's not exactly by herself. Other female or girl elephants from her herd will surround her in a circle to protect and support her during the laboring process when she's giving birth. Isn't that beautiful? The other female elephants protecting and helping with the birth are called allomothers. Allomothers are other individuals besides the mother who provides mothering care for a baby. They help care for and protect the baby. Other animals, including some primates, also act in this way, with other females taking the role of allomothers to help care for babies that are not their own. Humans also do this. Have you ever been in a group of ladies and some of them have babies? And all the ladies are helping out to hold that baby and give it toys and protect and care for it. And when a human mother is ready to give birth, sometimes she wants other ladies in the room with her, maybe close friends or family, to encourage her and support her. My own mother was in the room during the birth of each of my 4 children, helping me through labor and there to welcome her grandchildren into the world. This is a beautiful picture of community and helping to care for babies, and God designed elephants to do this also. The mother elephant gives birth while standing up, and the baby elephant will fall 2 to 3 feet to the ground. And this is no small baby. The baby elephant, called a calf, can weigh between 220 to 250 pounds, or 90 to 113 kilograms. The baby often comes out head and front feet first. It drops to the ground and remains laying down, but not for long. The mother will turn toward her newborn calf, and she will sniff it and touch it with her trunk and check on it. Now, what happens next can be a bit alarming, especially if you have ever seen it in a video. The mother elephant will sometimes begin kicking her newborn baby. This can be frightening to see because even though the baby is 220 to 250 pounds, it is still tiny compared to its massive mama. And the mother's feet are so large and strong. But this is all part of the process and how God designed mother elephants to care for their young. You see, sometimes they need to kick their baby and move it around to help it start breathing and stand up. And sometimes the allomothers or the other female elephants helping with the birth will help with this. The mother and the allomothers might even twist their trunks around the newborn calf's trunk and lift them up, encouraging them to stand. A newborn elephant will normally stand up on its legs within a half hour to 2 hours after birth. The newborn will then begin suckling or nursing from its mother, getting the milk that it needs to grow and live. The allomothers will continue to help care for and protect the calf in their herd. And that is the beautiful way that baby elephants are born. Baby elephants are very cute. And one reason is their big floppy ears and silly trunks. But why do elephants have trunks? An elephant's trunk is its nose. And just like us, they use their nose for breathing. But unlike our noses that are really just used for breathing and smelling, the elephant's nose or its trunk is multi-purpose. Elephants use their trunks for many things, including breathing, smelling, which they do quite well. They can smell a source of water up to 12 miles or around 19 kilometers away. They also use their trunks for grabbing and moving things, drinking, feeding themselves, bathing, and communicating with other elephants. Now, when I first learned that elephants use their trunks for drinking, I was confused. Have you ever gotten water up your nose, maybe while swimming? It kind of stings, doesn't it? I definitely do not drink water through my nose. So why do elephants use their trunks to drink water? Elephants suck up water using their trunks, then spray that water into their mouths in order to drink. Have you ever placed a drinking straw into a glass of water and then placed your finger on the top opening of the straw and then lifted the straw out of the glass? Did the water pour out the bottom of the straw? Nope, the water stays in the straw. And maybe you then place the bottom of the straw into your mouth, remove your finger from the top opening, and then the water flows out and into your mouth. This is similar to what the elephant does, using their trunk as a straw, or kind of like a hose, to suck up and hold water and then pour it into their mouth so they can drink. As you can imagine, having a hose or squirt gun with you at all times could come in handy. Elephants also use their squirt gun trunk to spray themselves with water to cool down on a hot day or to clean themselves. Another thing elephants use their trunks for is to pick up mud and spread it all over their skin. They use the mud as a natural sunscreen, protecting their skin from getting too hot. An elephant's trunk is very useful, and it is engineered just right for all of the many jobs that it does. In fact, an elephant's trunk has no bones, but it has over 40,000 individual muscles. Consider this. The human body has around 600 muscles throughout it, but an elephant's trunk, just its trunk, has around 40,000 muscles. That is an incredible design. An elephant's trunk has what are called hydrostat muscles. Hydrostat muscles are muscles that are tightly packed together and filled with fluid. Because of this design, they can act kind of like a bone system, holding things up and helping things move. Consider these examples of hydrostat muscles. We just learned that they are in the elephant's trunk, helping them maneuver and move around their trunk in many ways, lifting and moving objects, even with no bones in their trunks. Another example of hydrostat muscles, they are in an octopus, helping an octopus, which has no bones, to be able to stand up on their arms and even kind of walk across the ocean floor. There are also hydrostat muscles in earthworms. Earthworms have no bones, but are able to powerfully wriggle through the dirt using strong hydrostat muscles. Finally, you use hydrostat muscles in your tongue when you lick a tasty ice cream cone. So an elephant's trunk with those powerful hydrostat muscles is useful for many jobs, including breathing, smelling, drinking water, grabbing and moving things, and bathing. Elephants also use their trunks to communicate with other elephants. When we think about elephants talking or communicating or making noise, we often think about their loud trumpeting sounds. But elephants communicate with many sounds, including loud trumpets, barking, rumbling, crying, and squeaking. Wait, elephants squeak? Yes, they do. One of our listeners, Rowan, asked this great question.
Hey, my name is Rowan. I'm 3 years old. I live in New Mexico, and I want to know why elephants squeak so loud.
That is a great question, Rowan. Why do elephants squeak so loud? Asian elephants are particularly known for their squeaking. They likely use this special form of communication when sounding an alarm to other elephants, or when something exciting is happening. One research project found that Asian elephants likely do this through something called lip vibrations or lip buzzing. It's kind of like a human musician playing a brass instrument. This lip buzzing, it is unique and not found elsewhere in creatures. It's very special in elephants. Their research paper suggested that this is something elephants learn from each other in their herd, kind of like if a parent or other adult has ever helped you learn how to whistle. When an Asian elephant uses these squeaking sounds, they can be at a very high sound frequency. But what exactly is a sound frequency? Sound is made up of tiny vibrations or movements. If you want to learn more about sounds in nature, make sure to listen to episode 76, Why is Nature Musical?, where we learn about vibrations and sounds in nature. Sound frequency refers to how fast those vibrations or movements making a sound are. When something vibrates fast or at a high frequency, it makes a high sound, like a bird chirping or a whistle. When something vibrates slowly at a low frequency, it makes a low sound, like a drum or a lion's roar. So when an elephant squeaks, it is at a very fast vibration, creating a very high frequency sound. But elephants can also create very low sound frequencies with very slow vibrations. An example of this is an elephant's rumbling sound. They might use these rumbles to communicate with the herd that it's time to move or to coordinate group travel. The rumbles that elephants make using their mouths or nose are such a low frequency or made with such slow vibrations that human ears cannot even detect them. They are infrasonic. Infrasonic means a sound is at such a low frequency with such slow vibrations, humans cannot hear it. The opposite of infrasonic is ultrasonic. While infrasonic means a sound is at a low frequency that we cannot hear, ultrasonic means a sound is at such a high frequency with very fast vibrations that humans cannot hear it. Can you think of another sound in nature that is ultrasonic or too high of a frequency for humans to hear? Another example is the chirps that a bat uses when using echolocation to hear what is around it. So elephants produce infrasonic rumbles at such a low frequency that we cannot hear them. And Asian elephants produce ultrasonic squeaks so high in frequency that we cannot hear them. Just think about all of that elephant communication going on that humans cannot hear. If you have ever sung in a choir, you might have heard the word octave. An octave is the measurement of pitches in music. It measures if a note is higher or lower in pitch. Like if you sing do and then sing a higher do, that's an octave. Most humans can easily sing around two octaves with a lower voice or a higher voice. And with vocal or singing practice, humans can reach around three octaves. Elephants, on the other hand, with their low infrasonic rumbles and their high ultrasonic squeaks, can reach at least seven octaves. That makes for an impressive elephant choir. Listener, just as humans cannot hear all of the sounds that elephants make, some humans also cannot hear certain things from God's Spirit. In a way, God's Holy Spirit speaks at frequencies that some people cannot hear. When Jesus was on earth, he told his followers about those whose ears do not hear from God. In Matthew 13:15, he said, "The minds of these people have become stubborn. They do not hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." When people's hearts are stubborn and they do not want to hear from God, or they don't believe that there is a God to hear from in the first place, their ears can be deaf to God. Now God, in His grace, He can open their ears to hear from them. We see that in the incredible story of the Apostle Paul. Paul used to be named Saul, and he persecuted and even killed Christians. But one day, God spoke directly to Saul opening his ears and his heart to hear from God. Listen to the story in Acts 9, 3-5. So Saul headed toward Damascus. As he came near the city, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." After Saul's ears and heart were opened, he began to follow God. His name was changed from Saul to Paul, and he told many, many people about the love and truth of Jesus. When we follow God, we can hear from him, and we can hear as his Holy Spirit whispers to us. It's like hearing in octaves or frequencies that not everyone around us can hear. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In this verse, when Jesus says sheep, he's talking about us. We can hear his voice because we are following him. And when we follow Jesus as our Savior, we also have God's Holy Spirit inside us, and our hearts are open to hearing from God's Spirit. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Listener, we can practice becoming better hearers and hearing from God and his Holy Spirit. We can do this as we spend time reading, studying, and memorizing God's Word, the Bible, and as we spend time in prayer. Also, as we spend time with others who know and follow and love God, and as we enjoy adventuring out in God's wild and wonderful world and learning about all that he has made. Do you remember those elephant rumbles that are so low in frequency that humans cannot hear them? Well, listen to this in Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Holy Spirit uses groans that we cannot hear, kind of like an elephant's low-frequency rumbles that we can't hear. The Spirit uses this powerful form of communication to speak directly to God. And what do you think he's speaking to God about? Us. The Spirit powerfully communicates with God on our behalf. That is some amazing communication going on that we can't even hear, and yet it helps us every day. We can thank God for speaking to us and for his Holy Spirit who speaks for us in these very special ways. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here's today's question.
Hi, my name is Addie. I live in Texas. I'm 7 years old, and I want to know how flying squirrels fly.
That is a great question, Addie. How do flying squirrels fly? The flying squirrel would be better named the gliding squirrel. It has special skin, like a little furry parachute that stretches between its arms and legs. Compared to other squirrels, the flying squirrel has the longest legs, allowing the parachute to be very large. To get airborne, the squirrel will climb up high into a tree and launch itself by jumping off the tree. The squirrel will open its legs and will begin gliding both forward and downward. The squirrel can change its direction in the air by moving its legs so that it can land on the desired tree. As it gets ready to land, the squirrel will raise its flattened tail to slow its body and land softly. Flying squirrels can glide quite a long way, up to 150 feet or 45 meters. That's like half of an American football field. The higher they climb, the farther they can glide. However, there can be a problem. Gliding can draw attention. I mean, if I saw a squirrel gliding through the air, it would definitely grab my attention. But it can also draw the attention of predators. So the squirrel will land and then immediately run up the tree to find a safe place to hide. Thanks for your great question, Addie. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. Nat Theo Club members, be sure to click over at the end of this episode to our bonus video, where we will discover just how playful elephants are and four different games they enjoy playing. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time now to answer our trivia question. How many hours a day does an elephant spend eating? A full day is 24 hours. How many of those hours does an elephant spend munching on food? Do you have a guess? An elephant will eat around 16 to 18 hours every day. Compare that to the 1.5 hours that most humans spend eating. That is quite a lot of time spent munching. Now it's your turn to explore. Go enjoy a nature walk and listen for high and low notes in nature. Do you hear the low croaking of a frog or the high-pitched song of a bird? See how many different pitched sounds you can hear, and remember how God designed elephants to create sounds so low and so high that we can't hear them. Just imagine all the sounds in creation that our ears can't even pick up on, but they are giving praise to our Creator God. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on elephants, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.
We are all loved.